Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Why are you looking for Jesus here? Well, there are very good reasons why the women were looking for Jesus in the tomb. They saw him die on the cross. The tomb where he had been taken, well, that's the place to find him. Or is it? Imagine the grief in their hearts. Their best friend, their leader, the one who was supposed to bring them freedom from the oppression of the Romans, freedom from everything that oppressed them. Jesus had been betrayed by one of their own, arrested, tried, and executed. It was over. The dream had died. They were looking for his body. For what else would they be looking? In order to find something, it helps to know for what one is looking. Where do we look for Jesus? Where do we look for resurrection? Where do we find resurrection and know the risen Christ? There's an intense controversy going on in England right now about Easter. As you know, there have been many disagreements within the Anglican Communion in recent years, but this one has people truly engaged. USA Today reports, chocolate manufacturers in the UK have removed the word Easter from the holiday eggs, the candy, that has delighted millions of children for generations. They've removed the word Easter from the candy. All this struggle, it's reported, is happening on the eve of Christianity's most important holiday. I lived in England for 2 years, and I can tell you these eggs are a big deal, a very big deal. But never fear, the Christians are on it. They're on it. Says one such Christian, quote, "It's deeply disturbing and shameful that some of the biggest companies are censoring the country's old tradition," says David Marshall, CEO of, wait for it, CEO of the Meaningful Chocolate Company. The Meaningful Chocolate Company, a group set up in an attempt to reintroduce Easter eggs and Advent calendars featuring nativity scenes. Really? Really? I'm always fascinated by how our Christian faith comes into the mainstream media and how we Christians choose to spend our time and energy protecting the faith. Where are we looking for Jesus? Where are we looking? And when you play this whole thing out, of course, the word Easter is derived from the name of a pagan goddess who represented spring and fertility. So are the Christians fighting unknowingly to make the eggs more pagan? Perhaps they ought to be lobbying to call these resurrection eggs. Where are we looking for Jesus, the risen Christ? As an aside, and you know, I've got my Snoopy tattoo with the Easter egg here. Of course, we're having an Easter egg hunt here today. And perhaps it's because I didn't grow up in the church and I didn't attend a great Sunday school or children's chapel such as our kids do. But I didn't grow up knowing what these eggs were supposed to represent in a Christian sort of way. To me, they were just the Easter eggs. But they represent the empty tomb, or at least some sources say, because these eggs look like stones, like dead objects. But when they're not filled with candy, of course, they're filled with living beings inside them who break free of the egg and live. Did everybody know that? No, I didn't really know that. Like many Christian traditions, we use these symbols of life that aren't Christian, that are perhaps pagan or some other sort of symbol. We use symbols and words to express what we know as God's ongoing life with us. And this is what Christians have always done. What else would the first Christians have done to express in words and symbols their experience of the risen Christ? The women at the tomb, they were standing on the threshold of a new world, but they were not looking for that. They went there that morning thinking they were going to a tomb, something dead, something about the past. But then something not only unexpected but unimaginable happened. According to the story, two men in dazzling clothes appear, angels sent by God, and they remind the women of what Jesus had said, that he would rise again. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And they remembered. Remembering in the context of our relationship with God is sacramental. We remember, and through the power of the Spirit, we experience the grace of that memory. And not just the grace of the memory, but new grace in that moment, fresh grace. And we do this every time we gather, every time we celebrate the Eucharist. Do this in remembrance of me, and Jesus is right there. In remembering, we encounter grace anew. The women remember, and perhaps it is in that moment that they experience this powerful grace of God that gave them such courage. Courage to go and tell the others, to go and tell the men. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't look for Jesus here in the tomb. He is risen. The whole world has changed. Life has changed. Death is conquered. And it was in leaving the tomb, in moving out into their new life, into this new reality, that Jesus is not in the tomb. What can this mean? The women move out in faith into this new reality. And it's because they move out in faith, they encounter him. They will encounter him again on that road to Emmaus and on all the other roads they would take. Our faith is sort of like this too. When it is firmly entrenched in the past, in Sunday school lessons of our childhood, or early ideas about church or religion, or even last year's ideas, we are most likely not going to find Jesus there. For Jesus, God, the risen Christ, is with us now, in the very real and challenging world in which we live. So where are we looking for Jesus, the risen Christ, God's ongoing life with us? There's a cartoon, it's come around in a couple of different iterations, and the one that I first saw, it's a cartoon, there's a woman in her home, and two men come to her door, you know, as people come to your door to ask if you know Jesus, right? They come and they say, "Have you found Jesus?" And we see over her shoulder a figure behind a drape with his sandals visible. I love that. It's so funny. It makes the point that we find the risen Christ in the most ordinary of places, right in our own homes, in the places we spend our time, in the relationships that we have. When the women go and tell the men what they've heard, what they've seen, the men do not believe them. It is hard to believe based on what others tell us. That's why Peter runs to see for himself. It is so hard to believe in new life when death is all around. I must confess to you that there have been many times when I've looked around the world or my own life when it's been easier for me to believe in Good Friday than in Easter. When the challenges seem too much, Good Friday makes a lot of sense, but not Easter. Violence in our world, most recently the terrorist attacks in Belgium and so many others, and the things that seem beyond our control, they speak to us of Good Friday, and this happens often. After the terrorist attacks in Paris last November, you may have seen this, I saw a video of a father speaking to his young son, maybe 3-4 years old, about the attacks, and they live in Paris. The father was speaking to his son about it. What did he think? And the boy spoke of the bad men and what they did. The boy was thinking maybe they should move. What are they to do? The boy's asking, because the bad men have the guns. His father replies, yes, they have the guns, but we have the flowers. And the boy, very smart little boy, says, can the flowers protect us? Yes, his father says, see the people putting them everywhere. The reporter asks if the boy feels better, and he says, yes, he does. See the people putting the flowers everywhere. It was like they were putting the flowers on the cross and proclaiming that the ways of death would not have the last word. The risen Christ is found all over, in every place, even in the words of one who was not trying to make a Christian statement of faith, but we can see Easter there and know the risen Christ in his words. In order to find something, it helps to know what we are looking for. The first Christians saw the risen Christ all around them and named their experience with the words and concepts known to them, and we can do that too. Where do you see the risen Christ? What words would you use? What images have spoken to you of God's great love for you and our world? What images in our time speak to you of new life, eternal life? We know that terror is real, that violence is real, that there are many hard things, but they are not the last word. Easter teaches us that God wins. God wins for all of us. Easter tells us that we are free from all that oppresses. In Christ, we are free from the death-dealing ways of the world and from death itself. Love wins. Flowers win. The flowering of our cross that the children did, it is a gift to us. And perhaps it's a way to pray about this day and where you find the risen Christ. Perhaps imagine a cross that is in your life. This cross can be very personal, or it can be a cross that you see dominating the life of others or all people. What is the cross that you see before you? Perhaps imagine there's some spaces on it to put some flowers, and put a flower on it as a sign of hope, as a sign of resurrection. In prayer, we can put a flower on that symbol of death that grips our mind, our heart. There may be an image or a memory from the media, from our own lives. Put a flower on it, or two, or 100. Each flower can be a prayer, an acknowledgement of God's new life with us and our new life in God. And then perhaps imagine Jesus, risen and active, putting a flower or many flowers on your cross, knowing that God is bringing new life to everything that speaks of death to you, even death itself. God gives us new life, eternal life, through the resurrection. Imagine Jesus, the risen Christ, coming to you and giving you a flower, handing it right to you, giving you many flowers, putting flowers all over your cross, each flower being God's love and grace, each flower being God's power to make all things new. Amen.